The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick and in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, the members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May be seated. I would like to think with children and really all of us for just a minute about, I heard recently that some of our kids got report cards. If you're one of those kids that got a report card, I hope that you did well. Your report card is more than likely a reflection of your effort to do your best in school. So no matter how you scored, I hope that you did your best, and I hope that you're learning, and I hope that you're growing, and I hope that as you work hard, you will improve and become what God intends you to be, to become the best that you can be, the best person that you can be. And I can't help but think about what it might be like if God gave us a report card. On your report card, you might have received S's for satisfactory, U for unsatisfactory, or I for improving. Or you might have received a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or you might have received an A, B, C, D, or F. I wonder what our report card might look like from God. And while we can't ever be sure, with this text in mind, this text about those who were welcomed into the eternal, amazing, glorious kingdom of God because they served Jesus by serving their neighbors, we can see that they got a very good score on their report card, while others failed to take care of Jesus by failing to take care of others, and they got a very unsatisfactory. So it's good for us to spend some time thinking about how we're doing living within this new community that Jesus is forming. And that's what I'm going to talk about in the sermon today is the fact that Matthew's Jesus teaches us that he is forming a new community where all people have worth and value. And so we are called to care for every member of the community as if we were caring for Jesus himself. So just something for you to think about. And again, that's kind of for kids, but it's kind of for all of us. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to say, my palms are a little sweaty today. I don't know about the rest of you who are helping this morning, but before, when we were recording without a congregation, we could say, stop the camera, let's redo that. And today we can't do that. It's a go. So, it's another adjustment, and we know too that it's an adjustment for you. So we pray for God's blessings as we just continually make these adjustments. So I'm going to be separating my coins this morning. And, there went one on the floor. Pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters. Looks like there's a nail and a screw in here. I guess we can just toss those right out. Once I get these separated, then I'm going to separate my M&Ms and by color, and then I'm going to eat them saving my favorite ones for last, favorite color for last. And then I'm going to spend some time this morning telling you about some stories, some humorous stories about the hop days on the farm, and particularly days when we had to sort or separate hogs, getting those that were ready for market separated from those that weren't, so we could get them loaded and sold. But if I was going to do that, I'd probably have to ask Renee to help me, and she wouldn't want to put those stories on camera. So maybe I'll just stick with separating my coins this morning. I don't know if you noticed, but all of these coins, pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters, they were all in the same jar. And they can all be referred to as coins, okay? They are all made of metal and different types of metal. Pennies, you've got copper and nickel. I assume at one time they were made with nickels. Dimes and quarters at one time were made of silver, but now are made of lesser valuable metal, but they're all made of metal. They all have an image on them, and they all have value. But if I ask you which coins you wanted, if I was making an offer saying I'll give you one set of these coins, if I made you that offer, most of you, I would guess, would say I would like the quarters. Why? Why? Because they are the most what? The most valuable. So we separate things. We separate things. We separate things, inanimate objects, and we separate people based on value and worth, at least based on the value and worth that we assign to them. Sometimes we make this parable that Jesus talks about in terms of separating sheep and goats too complex. We make too much of the separation. Why sheep and goats? Why not coins or candy or stones? There were a lot of stones in Jesus' time. Why not separate the stones? Why are the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left? But here's the thing. The sheep and the goats, they were all part of the same flock. They were all part of the same flock, and they all contributed in some way, either as being part of the breeding expansion program of the shepherd, or by contributing their wool or their milk for drinking and for making of cheese and other products. And yes, some even gave their life. so that the shepherd and the shepherd's family had meat to eat and meat to sell. Just as the sheep and the goats were all part of one herd, and just as these coins are all part of one collection into one jar, so are we, all part of one humanity. We are part of one humanity. And yet we separate people. We separate people based on their worth, a worth that we assign from our hearts and our minds. Again, in Matthew's gospel, Matthew's gospel is the story of Jesus forming and forging a new community. A new community, a community in which all people have value, where all are seen like these coins and not like these coins. Like them because we see the image of God. Just as we see the image on the coin, we see the image of God stamped on all who are in this one humanity. And unlike these coins, because we value some more than others, this new community that Jesus is forging is a community where all have worth and all have value. In chapter 20 of Matthew's gospel, the mother of the sons of Zebedee, James and John, comes to Jesus and she asks Jesus that her sons be granted to sit one on Jesus' right and one on his left when he comes into his kingdom. And Jesus says, it's not mine to grant. And when the other disciples hear about it, they're angry with the brothers. And Jesus comes to them and addresses them by saying, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, the rulers of the people, lord power over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you. It will not be so among you, Jesus is saying to this new community. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be servant or slave of all. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is forging a new community where all have worth, where all have value, where we are called to look at our neighbor, to look at the least among us, as well as those who think most of themselves, and strive to see the image of God imprinted upon them. The problem with this can be illustrated by a story that I read this week. It's a story of a poor old man who was walking down the street, and all that he had in his hand to eat was a piece of bread. And he passed by a street vendor who was grilling up some meatballs, and the aroma was just so tantalizing. So the poor man took his bread and held it over the smoke that was coming from the meatballs so that the bread would soak up some of that aroma. The vendor caught sight of him, and in anger he came to this man and he drug him before the judge, before the court, and he demanded that the poor man pay him something for the aroma that he was stealing. After hearing the story, the judge began to shake his coin purse. Jingle, jingle, jingle. Finally, the accuser said to the judge, what are you doing? Then the judge said, I'm paying you. I'm paying you with the sound of money for the smell of your meatballs. I'm paying you with the sound of money for the smell or the aroma of your meatballs. Neither were real. The theft wasn't real and the payment wasn't real. And sometimes we withhold what is real from our neighbors because we valued them as worthless. because we see them as less than. We withhold from them ourselves that which what we see as worthy. And so we are like those people in that courtroom. We withhold from each other what is real. And that is the value and the worth of our life. In chapter 25, Matthew's Jesus brings us to the end of the old age. And he brings us to the brink of the consummation of the new kingdom. As the old age ends, there is a separation, not of M&Ms or coins or pigs or sheep and goats for that matter. It is a separation of people. And it's a hard story for us to hear. But it's a story that points to a future judgment, a judgment from God upon all people, all nations, a judgment that no one can escape. And we're told that in that judgment, those who have embraced the values of the King, all have value, that all have worth, and those who have seen and acknowledged the image of God on the other, come to the right. And those who have not embraced the values of the King and have separated themselves from the suffering of the world, to the left. At the end of the age, Jesus is simply making real. He is simply making real what has already existed. Jesus teaches us in this story that separateness, that elevating oneself over others only leads to death and separation from God. And Jesus teaches us that to give yourself means life. To give what is real to your neighbor in need is real life. Those who want to save their life, Jesus says, will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And it's at this point in the story that we start to look inward. We start to look at that report card that we get from God. And it's okay to do that for a time. It's good for us to spend some time in contemplation. What's my report card look like? How am I doing in embracing the kingdom's values and the King's values? Or how am I doing rejecting them? But if we become fixated on the question, am I a sheep or a goat? We've missed the mark. We've lost the challenge already. You see, we can never do enough to earn our place. And self-absorption and navel-gazing, turning inward and worrying about, am I a sheep or a goat? Am I on the right or the left? It only takes our attention even further away from our neighbor, from God, from the King, the Shepherd. Jesus, through his death and resurrection, sets us free. He sets us free because he has made us children of God, children of the kingdom and heirs. He has placed his imprint, his stamp upon our brow, and he has named us and claimed us as his own so that we can be free from that navel-gazing, so that we can be free to give what is real, ourselves, to our neighbors and others who are in need. Our Thanksgiving meal and our Wednesday evening meals and the Good Samaritan Fund, our outreach to children, our outreach to the aging, our outreach to those who are sick and suffering in our neighborhoods, our willingness to stop in-person worship for the protection and safety of the most vulnerable among us. These are efforts that embrace the kingdom's values here at Emmanuel and at Bethany Lutheran Churches. And for each and every one of you who is involved in that, Jesus says, thank you. And keep up the good word. Work good work. You see, taking our eyes off, or keeping our eyes on ourselves only keeps us moving towards death. But what moves us, what transforms us, and what transforms our hearts is to notice one thing in this story. And the one thing is, who is doing the separating? As a shepherd, we're told, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, so the Son of Man separates people. You see, this is the shepherd. This is the shepherd who has fed the sheep when they were hungry. It is the shepherd who led them to still waters when they were thirsty. It is the shepherd who welcomes the stray and the stranger. It is the shepherd who shelters the most vulnerable in the midst of them all. It is the shepherd who binds up and heals the wounds of those that are injured and ravaged by the wolves and the world around them. It is a shepherd who has visited them or put a fence of protection around them, or pulled them from the brambles when they were lost or caught in the thicket. This is the shepherd who's doing the separating. It is Jesus who came to you and to me while we were still sinners to give his life as a ransom for all. This is one who can be trusted. This is the one who has set us free so that we no longer have to navel gaze, but we can turn our attention to the world around us and give what is real, ourselves, our accompaniment, our blessing that flows through us, through the shepherd, through Jesus, the one who will in time gather the world before him to separate the sheep from the goats. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink or wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his righteousness, his way of life, and all these things will be given to you as well. Dear friends, the King has come. He has come and he has revealed the values and the priorities of his kingdom. Let us always honor him by striving to do his will, by giving what is real to the world around us, and that is ourselves, our worth, our value that we find in Christ Jesus. Amen.